Hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 96, four away from 100, and I can't be more excited. Today's episode is with Teresa of Creative Tribe. She is our hombre from Tucson, and I'm so excited that more and more people are coming up from Tucson, but there's still more out there that I want to get to. So that leads me to our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/FindingArizonaPodcast and be a part of our Arizona Lovers Club. This is where you'll get more videos, more photos from Brittany, and one exclusive podcast every month from us. We try and do as much content as possible, and we couldn't contain it anymore. We're going to give you one exclusive podcast. That's right, one exclusive podcast for joining our Arizona Lovers Club every month. And so we hope that that entices you guys to go and join our exclusive but inclusive club for all of you. And then if you want to also help us, we also have a sponsorship page that you can help us through. Go to warcrywarrior.com, and from there you can type in the code podcast after you've made a purchase from our store, receive 20% off your first purchase, and that will actually help us get some funding too. We love all of you, so we want to be as open and as transparent as possible, I guess. But on top of that, we hope that you guys understand that we want to do bigger and better things so that you guys get some cool little insights to things and that you guys are feeling a part of the community, and we want to feel as part of that community as well. So thank you very much to everyone for listening. If you're listening for the very first time, go check out our social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all under Finding Arizona Podcast, and get caught up with us. If you're listening to this on the website, you'll receive photos just on the website itself. Every page has its own exclusive photos with every individual. We try and put that all together for you. That's me and Brittany together working on that. But we hope that you enjoy it. You can also listen to us on SoundCloud. We hope that you guys take advantage of all episodes available on SoundCloud. I am putting up more and more every day. I am trying to keep up with all of you because I know all of you want to listen to some of the previous episodes, and we appreciate that. So, some leading into some of the events going on around Phoenix. It is jam-packed because it's Labor Day, guys. I am not kidding. There's so many things going on. I can't even contain how excited I am about visiting a couple of friends that are doing cool stuff. And some of the events that you can catch us at that are coming up, actually, is Junk in the Trunk, September 15th, Vintage Market over in Scottsdale. They did an episode with us, so I'm always trying to get back and give back to them who come on our episodes by just appearing, going to these places, and appreciating what they do and their actual element. So shout out to the girls over at Junk in the Trunk Vintage Market. We will be there hopefully on that Friday, I think it is, Friday, September 15th. But also, we will definitely be at our best friends, Matt and Leah, at the Ivy event on Sunday Funday, September 17th. I think there's still a couple of tickets available, but they are working with Iconic Cocktail Company. So go check that out. You will definitely see me and Brittany there. We were getting our swim on, and I'm very excited because it's summertime. I got to get my tan, even though I'm probably really brown, but I like still getting a little bit of sun, getting that sun glow going. And then I believe there's a couple of other things, but stay tuned for our next episode where I try and kind of keep us up to date. So hopefully this will be something that we continue on further. And if you would like to send us a little bit of events and things that you guys are excited for, please, 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 please email us, findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com. And I am so excited that all of you are reaching out more and more. I hope that you all understand that it's just me and Brittany. So please bear with us. We try and answer all the emails we can. We try and get back to people as quickly as we can. So we hope that you understand it's just a two-person operation, but we will get better, hopefully sooner than later. But all that said, let's jump right into the podcast, episode number 96, four away from 100. I'm so excited. But jumping into the podcast with Teresa of Creative Tribe. Let's do this now. You ready? Don't be nervous.
I think so.
It'll be fine. It'll do fine. We know each other already. Yeah. So welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I am here with Teresa, the creator, owner, creator?
Both.
Owner and creator of Creative Tribe. Yay! Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. I've wanted to have you on here because we're doing a real big push for Tucson. We want to, you know, really reach out to you guys. And I think that I enjoy a lot of the Tucson atmosphere because you guys are such a close family. It's such a close tie. Like, everyone knows everyone. It's like the smallest little, like, best entrepreneur group, would you say?
Yeah, it's definitely very much small town feel, especially in the creative community, because there's a rising younger creative community growing now. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to see the connections being made, and everyone's definitely out to help each other. So yeah, that creates a tight bond for everyone.
So to give us a little bit of insight about what you do and kind of how you came about making this awesome little like network that you have.
Absolutely. So Creative Tribe is a workshop series for people to come together and make connections in a way that feels really comfortable and authentic, and also exercise their creativity with hands-on projects. And part of that is for each workshop, we bring in an expert from the community who is a professional in their trade to lead the project and teach about what they do. And it definitely creates great opportunities for people to not only connect from creator to consumer, but also for creators to connect with each other because they're going to each other's workshops and
network. What have you seen as far as like how that goes about when the creators and other creators kind of go, like, what have you seen story-wise, like, experience, like, who's gotten together that you thought would never get together, like that sort of thing, like bonded over something?
Gosh, I'd have to think about it, but I can't think of anyone that I would have thought would never get together, because there's so much room for collaboration in the creative field that in my eyes, I'm always thinking of ways that people could work together, and I do my best to make those connections and facilitate them when I can. But it definitely happens in a natural way at the workshop, which is really fun to watch, kind of stand back and let it go and see what happens afterward. And yeah, I can't think of any that I couldn't see ever happening. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Let's jump into, I want to know more about like your position in the entire process. Like, are you herding cats? Like, is this like herding cats? Like, I imagine there's a lot to go into these networking events and in these workshops, especially because hats off to anyone who does an event and has to curate it from start to finish. Like, so what have you experienced? Like, what is your role throughout this whole thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm currently the only quote-unquote full-time person with Creative Tribe, so I wear a lot of hats. My role comes in as not just the event planner, an event host, an event coordinator, but all of those other things that go into running a business in general, of marketing and sales and bookkeeping somewhat. And
hey, I took that course with you. I was there with you.
Yeah.
I honestly, that was probably the... I think for me, it's always good to go into those realms of like, I like when other people, like entrepreneurs and people who are just starting out or, you know, still need some help along the way. I like those kind of events because it makes me, professionalism over here. It makes me feel like, you know, I'm one of them, and it just kind of, you know, closely, like we're a similar age, we're all struggling, we're all trying to like make things happen. And it always makes me feel better at the end of it because everyone's like, okay, we're on the same page now. Like, we all learn
this little thing. Yeah, there's so many shared struggles, especially in entrepreneurship, that it's so nice to get together. And maybe you don't come out with a solution, but at least you know you're not isolated.
Yeah, you're not the only
everyone
one.
Everyone else is having the same problems as you. So at the very least, you can know you're not alone in whatever it is. And I think financials is definitely a big one for a lot of people. So... yeah, as far as the events, like you said, there's so much that goes into live events, and I don't think anyone realizes until they're halfway through planning or promoting it. Just how much actually has to be taken account of. So I definitely wear a lot of hats in that. And herding cats, it definitely feels like that sometimes in the guest communication aspect or in, you know, arranging timelines and ordering materials and all those different little organizational details that have to go into it, not to mention the overall vision and bridging that. But it's hard to pinpoint exactly one role in all of that. Being, you know, the creator and owner, as you said, it's a million different roles within that.
Yeah, that definitely. I'm with you on that one. But I have, like, you are just starting out. You just told me that a little while ago that you're hiring a couple of interns. And I have an intern of my own as she's taking photos right in front of us. And I very much enjoy having a partner who can, you know, pretty much help me out and anticipate a lot of things. At the same time, it always helps me creatively to kind of bounce an idea off of someone else. And what are some of the things that you're looking for so that maybe we can get you a good couple of candidates? Like, you know, not, you probably are already going through the process right now, but in the future, you know, what are some of the things that you're kind of looking forward to getting on board with Creative Tribe? And
I had a feeling you were going to ask that.
Well, I mean, I think it's
a good question.
I love your, you know, your events. I love when events people like come in here because, one, I know that it takes a lot out of you. I understand it's a lot of hats. You're juggling a lot of things. If I can get someone who's creative and responsible and someone who's forthcoming and all those things that you need, then I'm happy to like be able to like, hey, what are you looking for? Like,
yeah, definitely. As far as interns go, I always say the same thing, and that the best thing is having people around to bounce ideas off of.
Yeah.
Far and away. I mean, being able to educate is a huge benefit, and having help with those day of coordination things especially is big, of just rearranging tables and putting out place settings and having people to work on things during the event, whether it's taking pictures or video or just checking people in when they walk through the door. One person can only physically be in so many places at once during an event. But as far as hiring, I am hoping to expand. We're coming to Phoenix, so right now I'm looking for a Phoenix city coordinator, which would essentially be our person on the ground here in Phoenix. And I am towards the end of that process, but hopefully that will need will rise again in the next few months based on what happens up here. So
just the production factor going on.
Yeah. As far as what I'm looking for, there's definitely the creative aspect. Of course, you have to be interested in what we're doing, which always involves creative projects. Having a passion for community building is huge, because that is also one of our main tenets in Creative Tribe. Having that ability to bring people together and make them feel comfortable and being interested, genuinely interested in what they're doing.
Gotta be a people person.
You gotta be a people person.
Otherwise, it's gonna be very hard on you.
It's hard to host events when you're not willing to talk to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But aside from that, I really look for initiative. I think that's a huge one for me, because I want someone that when you're in an event and something goes wrong, you can just
stand up
and act on it and not get too flustered and think of a solution on the spot. That's really important, and making sure the experience is seamless for the people who are there and for the expert that's leading it. So initiative's huge. Willing to go out and talk about it is big. Going to events like the one we met at.
It sounds like you're describing my Brittany. She's like all of that and then some. She's like promoting it. Like, there are some times where like I turn around and I'm not thinking about it or and she's like, oh yeah, I talked to this person about like the podcast. And I was like, I didn't even know that was a possibility. Like, or, you know, her just kind of taking the initiative. A lot of the times, I mean, we wouldn't have the newsletter or some of the other stuff like video and things like that if she hadn't, you know, took the initiative to stand up and be like, hey, we need to do this and we need to approach this and we can do it. So
yeah, I love that. It's such an important quality, especially in a startup, whether it's a business or a media outlet. Being able to put yourself out there and talk about something with passion and pride is huge.
you brought up the idea of, or you brought up the concept of having that passion, and I want to jump into now, like, where does that stem from for you, at least? Like, you know, you've started this, you've created this, now you're in the thick of it. What makes you get up in the morning and keep going?
Aside from my dog poking his nose in my face, quite literally. That's a good question. I've always been an extremely creative person, in that I've pretty fearlessly pursued things that called to me and followed my instinct in that respect, which was instilled in me by my parents, and in both active and passive ways, in that they encouraged it, but they also kind of stood back and let me do what I needed to do, which was huge in and of itself. So I think their influence was huge, but I'm also very motivated by not going into a 9-to-5. That's a big motivator for me.
See, there are those types that, like, I feel like I've known a couple of types that, you know, they have that same mentality of, I don't want that 9-to-5, anything to avoid
anything
that.
But, yeah.
And then you get, like, the, you know, sometimes it's hard too. It's like to say no to that, but you have to have, I think, the motivation too, the passion, the drive to say, I'm not going to ever do a 9-to-5. I'm going to do what I want to do. And, like, and then, you know, there are some people who learn about it later on, like myself, where I was like, 9-to-5 sucks. I need to do something else.
And there are great 9-to-5s out there that give you the freedom you're looking for.
Yeah.
For myself, I really just enjoy working for myself and having the flexibility to spend my day however I want to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's just being able to wake up at the time I want to wake up and schedule meetings at a certain time, or it's on a broader scale, being able to take a week off to travel and have the ability to plan my schedule accordingly, or just shifting gears whenever I want. I'm very much a the phrase now is the multi-hyphenate or the multi-passionate person. Mm-hmm. There are different things I want to pursue, and I know in a few years there's going to be something else that takes over, and I want to have the ability to follow that when it comes up.
Yeah. And have you picked up, like you're saying, the multi-hyphenate, like, are there other things that we should be on the lookout for, like your projects, like wise, that we need to be like making sure that we keep up to date with? Are there any other side projects that are in the works?
Right now, Creative Tribe is definitely on the front burner. Mm-hmm. I've been running my own solopreneur brand agency for about 2 years, doing branding and copywriting work. It's my first business, and I still operate that, but I've definitely shifted gears and prioritized Creative Tribe in the last year or so. So I'm going to keep focusing on that, focusing on our expansion into new cities.
Mm-hmm.
That in and of itself is a feels like a million side projects at once.
Yeah.
Getting to explore new cities and the people there and the creative communities that are there.
Mm-hmm.
That's really fulfilling for me right now. So
for sure.
I would never say that there's nothing coming in the next year or two, because I know myself.
There always is something.
There's always something on the horizon. But right now the big focus is definitely on Creative Tribe.
Yeah. Are there any kind of, like, do you see there being any kind of opportunity to kind of make this into a national and kind of even beyond that, a global piece of your, like, you know, I want to understand what your expansion, like how you are hoping to plan this out and kind of hopefully, you know, expand this even further.
Definitely. I'm at this point trying not to put any limits on it in terms of how big I think it could get.
Mm-hmm.
I do see it going national. You know, there's some cities on my radar that are not in the Southwest, so that'll happen pretty soon.
Dun, dun, dun. That's right, Northeast or Northwest. We're coming for you, Portland and Seattle.
You never know. You never know what happens. So definitely new cities. Global is a whole nother thing, but my goal by the end of this year is at least pop-ups, workshops in new cities. So if not putting down roots and hiring, at least having an event or two in 3 cities plus Tucson. So we'll hopefully be in 4 by 2018, which is a little daunting to say, but short term, that's the plan. Long term, who knows what will happen.
And do you kind of see yourself being the kind of traveler to all of these events and kind of curating, or at least having a hand, you know, in the cultivation of it community wise?
Yes, definitely. I'm too much of a control freak to hand it off and franchise it, for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely my baby right now, so I want to protect that. And as a you know, branding professional. I'm very protective of the brand itself and Absolutely. What it means to people. And I want to be there to help it grow into whatever it ends up growing into. And of course, part of that is taking on influence from the cities we're in and the communities and what they need from it. And I think that'll be different in different places.
Yeah.
Even just between Phoenix and Tucson, just from what we've done up here so far, I know is slightly different in the demand and in the audience and the community up here is different. So I want to respect that and definitely go in thoughtfully and help to build Creative Tribe as part of the community in a really seamless way.
Yeah.
And that's going to take a lot of hands-on work. So
for sure.
Lots of travel, which is great.
And for those who like traveling and want to go to those different parts, for you, you know, there's this kind of perceived, you know, I'm getting more into like the politics and kind of understanding the world. And one of the big kind of things for I've seen is the growth of female entrepreneurs and kind of that female empowerment. And for you, as an individual who does have their own, you know, business, and where do you stand as far as like, you know, helping motivate women and other aspects and just being in kind of an entrepreneur and someone to look up to and someone where, you know, have you taken an opportunity to fully realize like where you stand as far as, you know, being an owner of something like this?
No, I think that's the short answer. I think about it sometimes, like I need to take a step back and look at what I've done and what I plan on doing and how is that having a greater impact. And on a day-to-day basis, I do my best to support people and answer questions when they come to me, you know, with the disclaimer of I've been in this for 2 years. Yeah. So take this with a grain of salt, but here's what I've learned. Here's the experience I've had. So I try my best to do that whenever I can and whenever it kind of lands in my lap. And I hope to take a more active position in doing that in the future. If I do continue down this track of entrepreneurship, which is highly likely. And with Creative Tribe, that's really a big tenet of what we do. And our workshops tend to attract women by the nature of some of the topics, the flower crowns and hand lettering. So it's definitely,
I love hand lettering. What are you talking about? I will be there.
Well, come to the next one. I'm always excited when we do get men at the workshops because it adds a lot of fun flavor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Different perspectives, but it's definitely a way I see to empower women in what they're doing. And I think relationships and community are so essential to helping people move up in the world, whether it's however you define that, whether it's in your career or financially or in just having an impact. Having those social connections is absolutely essential. It's the only way to do it. And Creative Tribe is really my way of helping people to make those connections and build those relationships and find community wherever they happen to be. So hopefully that will be a force in helping women to get more comfortable and taking a stand and putting themselves out there. And
for sure.
Whether it's through entrepreneurship or just in their homes or in their, you know, friendships and relationships. So.
Absolutely. What would you suggest for someone who's going out into the world and starting something, you know, business-wise or anything, an event, whatever that may be, some of the challenges that you've had to face throughout the 2 years of doing this? What are some things that you can kind of help people stay away from or at least, you know, learn from your mistakes?
Building off of the idea of having those connections is isolating yourself is really the biggest mistake you can make. I think it's easy when you have this idea or you have this passion for something to want to hold it really close to your chest and not share it out of fear or out of this misconception that it'll be stolen or it'll be copied. And, you know, if that happens down the line, it happens, but you're going to miss out on so much by not sharing it with the world and not talking to people. And whether that's through trading services with someone or just sharing your idea and brainstorming with them or even just approaching someone to ask them for advice. I think women in particular and people in general can be really hesitant to do that because they don't want to bother someone or they, again, just want to keep it to themselves until it's perfect or it's ready.
Yeah.
But I think it's really essential to just put yourself out there and start meeting people and going to events and just putting yourself out there and putting your idea out there into the world too will have a huge impact on it.
Have you taught a class yourself? Like, how many?
I taught one class as part of our we did a series about creative businesses. Okay. I also started a startup this past spring, and I taught one class in a series of classes about creative businesses. So I did the brand voice.
That's class, awesome. Of course. And how was teaching for you on that level?
I enjoyed it. You know, the thing about the workshops is when people come, they're always like, man, this is such a great job. Like, it's so cool that you get to do this. You get to do all these projects. And I'm like, well, I don't actually do any of the projects because I'm posting the event. But it's fun to watch. You know, it's great to watch other people do it.
It's great. I can just imagine, like, you're promoting this whole thing and you don't even get to participate half the time.
Like, not sitting there doing it. I think I've done one, like the cupcake one. I got to sit down and decorate a cupcake. And I was like, wow, this is so fun. Like, no wonder people come to these events.
I do a good job.
It was great to be in that educator role because it, you know, showed me what maybe what needs to be improved or what we can do to make the experience better for the experts who come in.
Yeah, so you got to feel like kind of that both dynamic of like,
yeah, definitely,
you know, the teacher and the kind of student aspect too. So it's really interesting that you experience that because not a lot of people get to, well, most of the time, not a lot of people relatively, when you're doing all the work, you don't get a chance to kind of put yourself in all of the roles, essentially, like teacher doing all the event planning, all that, whatever it may be. Brit, do you have any questions for
Let's talk about podcasts, because I know you and I love being boss.
Yes.
I want to hear what other like ones inspire you, or maybe like an app or a book or a YouTube or something you just kind of draw educational inspiration
resources. Yeah. Resources. I get that question a lot. I just got into podcasts a few months ago. Like, I'm very late to the game on the podcast front.
Well, welcome. We're glad that you could join us.
Loving it so far. I'd say my favorite is How I Built This from NPR. That's like far and away my favorite, just because whether you're listening to it and they're talking about how they messed up and you're like, oh, thank God. Like,
did that too.
This huge company like Crate and Barrel or something had the same struggle, or it took them 30 years to get to where they were. And being a pretty impatient person, I'm like, okay, take a deep breath. Like, you're just a year in, you're just 6 months in. Yeah. So I love How I Built This for that, and hearing how these huge brands got their start and went through the same struggles.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear our Tough to Needle episode?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you gotta listen to that one. I will. That one's a lot of fun. That was like, you know, because we went over across the street, and that's where their home office is, and or not home office, that's where their building is for a lot of the Arizona, like their home Arizona building. And we went in there, and it was amazing. Like, they're just really nice people and really cool offices, too.
Yeah, I've
and
seen pictures of their office. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a very creative, like, environment. Cool. It's meant to be. And it's really exciting. But, yeah, I think that's, like, being able to learn from that and kind of fully hearing their side of the story.
There's so much you don't see.
Yeah, there's so much of it you don't see or don't, I guess, comprehend. Because there's a lot of stories that I've seen business-wise where I'm like, they made a choice, but the choice was kind of like based on all of these different factors that not a lot of people don't get a chance to hear or understand the full concept of it. And, you know, weighing those options and the pros and cons of it. Mm-hmm. And like you hear it and you're just like, oh, I would have done the same thing too.
Right. Yeah. It's easy to read the headline and be like, oh, well, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the one episode from How I Built This with Whole Foods was really interesting because they get so much criticism.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting to hear the founder's side of all of these decisions or like backlash they've gotten, how they reacted to it and how they've reacted to that internally. Was really interesting to listen to.
Have you heard about them joining the sale with Amazon?
Yeah, that's like a big away from it.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
My Facebook feed was just blowing up.
Yeah, there's so many like possibilities and so many things that can happen from that merger.
I don't know if sign is the right word, but it's definitely a turning point for a lot. Retail, groceries.
That's like Amazon two big
the world.
Yeah, this is like two big companies just like saying, welcome to the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Like we about to turn some stuff over. Like,
yeah. It's really going to be interesting to watch.
Like, and they bought it like $42 a share. And it's just like, oh my God, like
insane.
It's incredible, and I'm very interested. My eye is towards that and kind of like seeing where that
goes. It's fascinating to see what the transition's going to be, and you know, especially bringing back to Creative Tribe, which the reason I started it was to get people offline.
Yeah.
well, the real reason I started it at the very beginning was just to serve a personal need to want to meet people and do fun things. But it's evolved, and now it's very much geared toward how can we move people to an offline space to connect face to face. So things, when you see mergers like that where they're putting like all their eggs in the online game, you're like, man, either I'm going to get pushed out and there won't be room for this offline, or it's going to go in the other direction and people won't be ready for it and they'll turn back to offline even more. So it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, and I'm also kind of seeing where that kind of comes and stirs the creative aspect too. I mean, if you go fully online integrated, like, what does that push forward as far as humans' creativity, as far as, you know, where things could lead, and what does that do also in the physical world for creatives who are, you know, essentially, like, you're taking a lot of stores out of the market, and now you have all these spaces that can become anything and become any kind of mom and pop stores or whatever that may be. You know, there's a lot of transitions of these sort of things, but at the same time, I'm just like also thinking it could go really downhill and it just becomes a big suffice to say clusterfuck. But you know, it just depends on my hope is always that people are positive and creative, you know, and they
and thoughtful, and we'll
do the right thing, especially in this moment in time that we're, you know, social media has such a big kind of grip on a lot of things, and the customers can directly voice their opinion. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I'm very much adamant about, you know, these kind of, especially these smaller kind of venues where you really get to touch and affect the community really directly. And so, you know, props to you for pulling this together and doing this for so long. You know, I want to ask you a couple of questions as far as like your, you know, those moments where you're feeling down and you're feeling in those negative, you know, thoughts, and you know, everyone's been there. What made you kind of keep saying to yourself that this is a good product or this is a good thing that you're doing?
Yeah. Business wise, like you said, everyone has those moments where you're like, why on earth am I doing this? Like, you're perusing job postings.
Yeah.
Like, I could just go work somewhere.
I could easily just turn my resume.
Come home at 5 and not have to do anything from 5 to 9 a.m.
Yeah.
But really, it's seeing the events happen. You know, the testimonials that come in afterward. Even just kind of going on Facebook and seeing people talking to each other about going to a different event because they met at a Creative Tribe workshop, or purchasing from one of the experts because they found them through that. Like, I love seeing that those ripple effects happen. But yeah, it's really just the responses we get. Ever since the very first workshop we did with Paige Poppy, who I know you're familiar with.
It's not ringing a bell. No, just kidding. She's gonna listen to it and be like, "This is
weird." Yeah. So, Paige came down at our first workshop, which was amazing. But the response from the people who came was, you know, I've been looking for this and I just didn't know what it was. Like, I had no idea what I was looking for. I felt this void, and then I came to this event and this is what I've been wanting.
Great.
You know, when's the next workshop? And we were like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get back to you. But every time since that first one, which I think we've done about 20 now, it's the same. People come up to me afterwards and say, like, say thank you, or just say, like, you know, I met my best friend through this and we keep coming back, or
awesome,
you know, this is why I want to stay in the city because I found people that I, you know, otherwise was so isolated. So that's the biggest motivator by far. Or just people tapping into their creativity, you know, people who've been separated from it for so long. So it's not just connecting between, you know, people to people, but also people to themselves as individuals. And you know, sometimes it's a woman who's been in a corporate job for 30 years, you know, working in admin or something, and she gets to come to these workshops and get back to, like, what she was doing in her 20s or in her teens where she was creative, and she's like, I finally get to go back and revisit that, and I feel so fulfilled, and I was missing it, and I didn't even realize it. So things like that, you know, you can't beat that in terms of motivation to keep doing it. Plus, it's so fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's really fun.
I'm glad that you, like, I always get inspired when the owners are just so filled with joy when they like finish up? What are some of the thoughts after you're done with an event? Like, what are, you know, at the end of everyone's gone home, you're, you know, maybe still cleaning up, whatever it may be, like, it's, you know, the event went great. What's the thought in your head?
What am I going to eat? Wear some water. No, aside from, you know, the days are so busy, you know, yeah. The event just flies by and there's always things coming up, whether it's, you know, the AC needs to be turned down, I'm calling my landlord, or we run out of project materials and I'm going to do that, or whatever it may be, or just kind of standing back and watching because everything's falling into place really well. Afterward, it's always thinking about the next one. It's kind of partially my personality, partially the nature of the event game, it's, you know, getting people to the next one. And yeah, but I'm just really, I am like so grateful that I get to do this. Yeah. And I think I owe so much of that to the reception it got in Tucson. And I'm hoping to get in Phoenix as well. And yeah, just mostly just gratitude and a little exhaustion, but I like that. Yeah. I prefer it to boredom for sure. So yeah.
Good. Good. Well, I'm going to try and ask you some rapid fire questions. Okay. I'm going to see how this goes. And hopefully it goes well. Favorite event so far?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Like choosing a favorite child.
Yeah, I know, but you got to put that one that like stamp, like,
oh man.
You hope all of them are like this.
I would say my favorite event so far, I really loved the Flower Crowns one.
Ooh,
we did.
Okay.
It was the last one we did before we moved all the workshops in Tucson into our studio space. Mm. So it was like our last pop-up one, so to speak, though we'll be revisiting that model this year.
Nice.
That one was really fun. It was just great experts, you know, people who were facilitating it were really great. The lettering one with Ashley, Modern Aquarian, was great because there was so much excitement over it.
Shout out,
people
Ashley.
People were lined up outside the door to come in for it. And
she's so, like, we talked about this, and she's very talented. She was so nice to come in and kind of share. And then she saw, because we posted about the light, and she's like, your cats are going to freak out when they see it. And I'm just like, don't worry, there'll be a photo shoot with these kitties with this light.
Gosh. Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. There's going to be like a music video and everything.
Wow.
Big plans.
Big plans with that, for that sign.
Yeah, she's definitely one of the most talented artists I've ever met, on top of just being an incredibly generous person. But getting to see her come in and teach what she knows and watching everyone so excitedly
She's such a enthusiast about the history of it. And she just like has this...
She's
understanding,
an artisan,
she's an artisan through and through. She knows it. She bleeds it. She like feels it. She loves every aspect of it, and which I find very hard to find. For the, like, you have your people who do it and do it because, you know, they learned it they make a money, they make a living off of it. Then there are those who like love
they have
it.
To do it.
They just have
There's
to.
No
it's
other
part
option.
Of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like I really she's enjoy. Talking to her because she just kind of got it, and she knew like her history, she knew what her themes and her styles were. It's just, it's a very nice thing to know that like there's still people like that who are obsessed.
It's like the same with Paige.
Yeah, their obsession is their life for sure. Like everything is all about that, and you know, it's really wonderful to kind of learn and kind of experience that firsthand. I'm throwing this rapid fire question offhand. Favorite venue so far?
Ours. Studio,
okay. Favorite teacher?
That's even harder. I know.
I'm going to do it to
gosh.
You. I guess in the sense of like they're teaching how they taught the class. Because you can only.
Yeah. The first person that comes to mind is actually a Phoenician. Is that the right way to say it? A Phoenix person? Phoenician?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not from here. I'm a Tucsonan.
Tucsonan. And she knew that at first offhand. Tucsonan. Yeah, that's good. I like it.
And to be fair, I'm actually from Maryland, so I'm none of the above. Marion Mellon, who sometimes goes as the Zen Bird, she came down and did our vision board workshop in
January. We had
Marion
in here.
Did you?
Yeah, she's so nice.
She was such a good teacher and so generous. And
she's.
We had some major hiccups in that event. Elevator not working, and she literally did two workshops at once. We moved some tables downstairs to facilitate the group that was down there and could make it upstairs, and half the people, it was so inspiring to watch her. I was getting flustered because I was like, oh my gosh, like, mm-hmm. this is one of our first workshops in our new space. And she was like, you know what, let's move some tables down there. Who wants to go down and do the workshop down there? I'm mm-hmm. gonna go back and forth. And just ran two workshops at once, and she spun it into, like, you know what, guys? This is
She's
positivity in action. This is, mm-hmm. It
and
was
she,
amazing to watch.
She has, and she was telling me about this, how she, like, the way she connects, and two, like, I mean, people crying, emotional mm-hmm. connections. There's a lot of things that she does that I feel like, you know, it's really wonderful as far as teaching and the aspect of connecting and letting the students kind of learn from you mm-hmm. Personally. And your stories and things like that. So shout out to Mary. And like, she was so nice to come in too.
She's
like,
the sweetest.
She's really
yeah.
nice. Oh man. I completely botched this. This is really bad.
So much to talk about.
I know, right? Like, favorite podcast.
How I Built This.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't really go into any other ones when you asked that
yeah.
question, but I love it.
And let's go to favorite local Tucson restaurant, because I know that there's a few that, like, people are particular about.
Yes, I feel like Tucson's very opinionated on our restaurant scene because it's growing so quickly.
Yes.
And there's so much now available. Oh my gosh, my favorite. I really love Commoner & Co.
Okay.
Which is up, it's a bit of a hike depending on where you live, but it's up in the northeast corner.
Mm-hmm.
Just like really good classic food. They just do a really good job with
everything.
Yeah,
good.
Always good. They have this goat cheese tart that's just like out of this world.
Awesome.
My favorite thing to eat.
Is there any kind of, this is your chance right now, is we kind of throw this to you guys, are there any events that are coming up, you know, future wise that people need to be aware of, or are there any ways to connect with Creative Tribe on a daily basis, or, you know, newsletter, whatever that may be, that you can just allow everyone to know where they can go?
Yeah, so we're most active on Instagram for sure, and it's just at Creative Tribe Workshop. We do have a newsletter, which is where we announce events. You get a little discount code for your next workshop.
Nice.
And we send out like a monthly Monday digest of just a roundup of creative inspiration from around the web. So like a little
nice
Monday morning boost of
sweet
five things cool people are doing.
That's dope. What made you decide to do that for your newsletter?
Because
we're trying to like come up with new concepts
for it.
And we're always trying to like pick people's brain and like why and how a lot
yeah.
of the time.
I'm really into content curation, which
okay.
sounds really nerdy, but essentially I was like the high schooler on Tumblr. But I really like finding quotes, and I'm truly like a major enthusiast towards creativity.
Okay.
So I love compiling all different things people are doing, and I'm
for sure.
so fascinated in how people execute their creativity. So being able to just send out a little roundup of mm-hmm. things people are doing that I think deserve attention is really what it was.
Can I make a suggestion? Go check out 99% Invisible, the podcast.
Okay.
You'll love it. It's definitely up your alley. It's creative. It's got stories, it's got history, it's got a little bit
Ooh,
of everything,
yeah.
and it really goes into a nuance of like where design and kind of everyday life come into play, and
that
kind of creative. Check it out. And Roman Mars is a wonderful pod vocals. Like, I wish I had his level of like this 99% of his, like that deep tonal voice of like, yeah. But moving on forward from that, yeah, there's just like a lot of creative pieces that we want to implement, and hopefully we can try and, you know, learn from you and maybe
yeah.
also work with you. We would love to have any opportunity to help you guys out in any way that we can. You know, we want to foster that influence. And if the one thing that I hope that we could take away from this is hopefully that the Tucsoners, entrepreneur and all creatives down there will see that they have a open market up here, they can come up here, and also that they have an open hand to our, you know, an open door policy with us. They can definitely come
Absolutely.
To us, that they can help themselves, you know, get their voices out there, because I, you know, the first person that we ever had on here was Quinn from Communitive.
Oh yeah.
And from Tucson, and he, you know, I'll tell you what, if if I had any person to introduce me into the Tucson market or people in the community, that guy is
absolutely
the best. He was so nice and so, like, I still chat with him and he's doing his creative.
He's making big moves.
He's making big, I mean, yeah, did you see the, so did you see the magazine spread?
Yeah.
That was cool. I like that. I mean, that was really
Fashion
awesome.
Fashion Week and everything. Yeah. It's really exciting and very just, well deserved.
I mean, the story behind it and his grandmother teaching him how to sew.
Oh my gosh.
You know, everything about it was just a humble beginnings sort of mm-hmm. deal. And
he
it,
works so hard.
And he just works his butt off. And he just has this, I want to say thank you, Quinn, because it was in a good introduction into the community of Tucsoners. And I can't thank him enough for, like, introducing that to us and just sharing that story with me. And I remember I met him, like, literally it was, I set up at a U of A event. And he was right next to me. And the only reason why I even gave him, like, I'm usually, like, when I'm in an event, I'm in an event. Like, right. You know, mentally, just, in you know, networking and that stuff. But the only reason why I, like, approached him was because he was sewing. He was sewing at yeah. the event. And no one sews at, like, no one's doing stuff there at the event. And it was just,
producing.
And it's, it was art in motion, almost, essentially. Like, for me, it was, like, you are this, and it was a Native event, so he's like, if those who don't know, he's white, and so it's like, it was really cool to see someone just in their own skin and just really you know, doing his own thing. And that's why I was like, kudos to him. Like, he's just so the coolest guy that I've imagined in Tucson. And it was just like
very original,
original, very honest.
Which I think Tucson is, that's one of its great benefits, is we do have so many originals. It's, you know, for good or for bad, there's positives and negatives to it, but it's very much uninfluenced by other places.
Yeah. Really, really, like, now that I think about it, like, it's really one of those places that's, like, in its own little
bubble. And part of it's geographical, where, you know, kind of hard to get to sometimes, but it has created a really interesting artistic spirit in that people can do their own thing and really create room for themselves down there.
I also think that from a level of history too, that kind of slow build, saying
slow.
That it's like, like,
slow is a good characteristic to use for Tucson.
And it's just like, I'm not trying to use it in the way of like that is a negative, but it's just, I think it kind of helped really foster a level of history and a level of development and a level of art that just kind of really pushed Tucson in a unique way.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of, I'll admit, like, I mean, I go to U of A campus and they have a really deep history. Some of the creatives there and some of, like, I went to the design school. That's really cool. Like, a lot of cool things come out of there. But I think a lot, like you were saying, the bubble of it in being in its own little spot, it just really lets it simmer a lot longer
absolutely.
Than most.
I agree.
So, you know, again, it's like, if that simmer wants to become a boil, you come up here, get on this podcast, and we'll help you out.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot rising to the surface down there, which is exciting.
Yes.
And I think sometimes it's like you wish it was moving faster. I know I do all the time.
I heard you guys, every one of them, like at that
that's
event,
right, that
at
one
the
meeting.
Event
it can be hard sometimes just with the economy and with the the buyer mentality in terms of spending. So from a business perspective, it can be tough, but like you said, it's not all negative. There's a lot of positives to the fact that it is a slow growth and it's taking its time, and like we mentioned, I hope that creates a more thoughtful growth and that it can come into its own
and very balanced growth too. I hope that that's where that's going, because, you know, you can move away from good intentions and really push the market forward, but without good intentions, what are you really doing?
Exactly.
And so thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it. And again, where can people find you on social media? I want to make sure that everyone knows where to go. Facebook, Instagram, all of that. Let them know where they can find you.
Yes. So Instagram at Creative Tribe Workshop. Facebook, again, just Creative Tribe Workshop. We do have some events coming up in Tucson, and we definitely have events coming up in Phoenix. Those are in the works right now. Yeah. So our newsletter and Instagram are definitely the places to go to hear about those first.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then there you go, guys. And you can reach us at findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com for anyone who wants to be on the podcast. You can also go to our new website, www.findingarizonapodcast.com. And you can go to our Patreon page. You guys can help us get a little bit better, get some new equipment in here. And that's all at patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast. And with that, we say goodnight. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. It was great.
Good night, everybody. Bye.